our community. And this morning what we're doing is we're concluding our four-part series. It's called Unbreakable, and where we're talking about creating the conditions within ourselves where we can stand against the storms, where we can stand against the struggles, and we can stand against just the downright attacks that come into our lives. And so we started off talking about the power of prayer for a developing foundation. Then we talked about a life built on God's word is a life that will stand. And then Wendy talked about the power of praise and worship. And so today I want to talk about a discipline, and it's a discipline that does not get talked about much when it comes to spiritual disciplines. And it's the discipline of simplicity. Simplicity. And in a world where, you know, we're always being pushed to buy more, right? We're being pushed to buy more. We're being pushed to do more. We're being pushed to watch more and download more. Simplicity requires us to exercise a massive amount of personal discipline, because otherwise we just drift towards complexity, because that's the way that the world just kind of keeps pushing us. And it's sort of like, you know, our lives start to feel almost like that board game. I got to do what? I got to do what now? And we have all these things, and it's confusing, and it's crazy, and it's more complex. But I believe that God draws us into a life of simplicity. And remember, we're talking about being able to stand in difficult times, right? Being unbreakable. And when difficult times come, can I just tell you, if you got too much stuff, when you have too many commitments, when your brain is just spinning with ways, the difficulty is going to be overcoming your life, right? It can be overwhelming. Complexity can feel overwhelming. Just come to my house on the day that I do my taxes, and I look like somebody just punched me in the face, usually that whole day, you know? And I answer not, it's very complex, but you know, simplicity is just like a breath of fresh air when things are simple. And I remember the last time that my family, we moved to a new house. And we packed up all of our boxes, and every few minutes, Wendy or I would hold up something and ask, why do we still have this, right? Why do we have that VHS videotape of Taibo? When was the last time we did Taibo? We don't even have a VCR anymore, you know? And we look at, why do we still have this stuff? And we go through that. We're always looking at you. Or, an even worse question, have you guys ever asked yourself or your significant other, why did we buy this? Anyone ever do that one? Yeah. Why did we buy this? Somehow or another, at the time, we felt we needed something, and it was going to change our lives. And so we buy it, and then years later when you move and you're trying to get rid of all sorts of stuff or have a garage sale or whatever, you're like, why did I even buy this? And so we paid, you know, $40 for this useless piece of garbage, and we're going to get 50 cents for it at a garage sale. You know, but our lives tend to move in that direction. You know, or when we're packing up and moving, it's like we say, this would be so much easier if we didn't have so much stuff, right? Isn't life just in general so much easier when you don't have so much stuff? Stuff you got to take care of, stuff you got to watch out for, stuff you got to move later on, stuff you got to pay for, you know? And it's just so much easier. And think about the time that your car broke down. Has anybody here, your car broke down and you didn't have enough money to fix it? Ever have anyone here? Yeah, I think that's like a universal thing. You know, a car breaks down, you don't have enough money to think of it, to fix it. And you might think to yourself, if I never would have bought all this other stuff that I don't need, I'd be able to get my car fixed without going into debt. I mean, that's just how life works a lot of times. You know, we buy stuff. And it's funny because, I meet people a lot who are in financial need, yet have 50-inch TVs in their house, right? We all know those people, right? They're in financial need. They are strapped, yet they're at Starbucks five times a week, right? Or they just don't know what to do, but they, you know, they're constantly downloading and buying music. And so our lives become like that. You know, we spend our money on the stuff we don't need, and then when it comes time that we need it, we just don't have it, and we panic. Or we have to go into debt, say, to fix it, you know. And the problem with simplicity is that our natural tendency is to drift away from it into complexity, into more. Our lives drift into more. Listen, you don't have to try for more. You don't have to try to make things more complex. You don't have to try to accumulate garbage you don't need, because you know what? We just drift in that direction. That just happens. We don't have to really think about it. Especially, hey, Black Friday. Man, we just had like Black Friday. Am I the only one who caught some Black Friday deals? Anybody else got Black Friday? Yeah. Usually Black Friday for me is because I have a business. I look for the deals that will help me run my business. And so I'll look for like software and stuff, and those Black Friday deals come along and I'm like, you know, I want to get that for the business. And plus, you know, it doesn't hurt to get another sweater. So, but you know, we don't need it. But our natural tendency is to drift towards complexity, drift towards more. And so we drift towards having more stuff. We drift towards adding more things onto our plate, right? And we drift towards expanding complexity. The problem with complexity is this, and it's really super important to understand this, is that complexity and more always lead to decay. Complexity leads to decay. So the more stuff that we have piled up, right? Think about people who hoard stuff. Anybody have any relatives that are hoarders? Yeah. Everybody's like, well, I don't want to embarrass them, but yeah. You know. We have relatives, we have people in our lives that just hoard, just stuff everywhere. Their garage, they can't even put their cars in the garage anymore, right? Because they're just full of stuff. And so they just have more stuff. What happens with that stuff? That stuff that they paid good money for, it sits out there and rots, right? Or when we move towards complexity, we move towards everything just being more complex and more confusing. We don't use it. It just decays, you know? And so complexity leads towards decay. And have you ever had to answer a really complex logic question? And you're just like, this is so hard, right? I mean, maybe you went to go take your SATs. You remember those days, you know, or your ACTs. Or maybe you went over to Black Hawk, you took the compass. Do they still do the compass over there? You get into the complex algebra stuff. Some people are math wired. I'm not math wired. And so when I get into really complex stuff, and maybe you're like this too, you drift into complexity, it like drains your energy, right? You have a really complex problem and you're just like, oh, this is making me tired. You know, doing my taxes makes me tired. Hearing, you know, like when we bought our house and hearing our realtor explain all the stuff about, you know, and I'm just like, oh, stop telling me about the regulations. I don't even know what you're talking about. I'm not going to use this in real life, you know. And I just get, I met with Linda the other day. Linda and I were talking about, and she worked out, and she has the gift, because she's like excitingly, happily, just working out this little equation for profit-based pricing on, you know, buildings and stuff. And I'm just like, that is wonderfully Greek to me, you know. And it just, you just kind of go, oh, I feel tired. I need a nap now after that. So complexity is hard. It drains the energy from you if it's complex to you. On the other hand, I know that Linda also is, she's not super savvy when it comes to computer stuff, right? And I bet you that kind of drains you to try to figure that stuff out, you know? And so if it's complex, it can be draining. And life is a lot like a board game, right? Rhett and Link. And the simple ones are really fun to play, aren't they? The Wits and Wagers. Super fun. Is that what it's called? Super, it's super simple, you know, and it's fun to play. Let's play it again, you know? But the complex ones, you're just like, oh, man. Maybe if I owned it and played it a couple times a week, I would be able to kind of get into a rhythm. But the simple ones are fun to play. We got a simple game. All you got to do is you put on these tiny hands and you do things with the tiny hands. That's the game. They give you a challenge. Like the challenge might be flip over some cards with your tiny hands, or take a spoonful of pudding and put it in your mouth, you know, with your tiny hands. Simple, and it was so much fun, and we laughed. And Wendy just looked so cute with those tiny hands on. I could barely tell she had tiny hands on because her hands are normally very tiny. So she said, tiny-handed individual. They're cute. But the more complex they become, if you're not savvy to them, the less enjoyable they are. So what does God's Word have to say about all this complexity and about simplicity and the discipline of simplicity? We're going to talk about that. Let's pray real quick. God, we love you so much, and we thank you for your Word. We thank you, God, that the gospel is simple. It's not complex. And in fact, God, most of the time when the gospel seems complex, it's because we make it complex. Lord, we thank you that your Word is simple. And we ask, God, that you would speak to us today. Let it bring transformation into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're going to read Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 33. We've actually read the scripture, before, about 3 years ago. But it's one of my favorites. I want to read it again. Here Jesus says, "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? Don't worry about these things, saying, 'What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear?' These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." If you remember one thing today, if you just take one thing away, I want it to be this. Simplicity is a shield against anxiety. Simplicity is a shield against anxiety. When do we become anxious? When we don't understand stuff, when things get complicated, when we're just bogged down with stuff. That's when anxiety comes around. And simplicity is a shield against anxiety. If your basement floods, I don't know if anybody here ever had a flooded basement, but it stinks. Literally stinks. It's the worst. I never had a basement flood until I moved to the Quad Cities. So I don't know what it is about the Quad Cities and its flooding basements, but if your basement floods, would you rather have an empty basement or a basement full of stuff that you've been storing in cardboard boxes? Right? Isn't that the worst? Your basement floods, cardboard boxes, books are ruined, old photos are ruined, whatever you have in these cardboard boxes. But if your basement floods, when there's nothing in it, you just go, "Oh, cool. It'll drain. I'll get down there." Right? You know, when we have so much stuff, it's so much more to take care of. If you get hit with unexpected expenses, would you rather have less stuff but more money in savings or more stuff and a bunch of credit card debt? Anybody here say credit card debt? Okay, good. No fools here. All right. Right? It's so much better to have more stuff in saving, more money in savings, and not have a bunch of stuff when crisis comes. Because can I just tell you, if I can make a guarantee, something you can take to the bank today, crisis is going to come. Expenses are going to come. Things are going to break down. Medical expenses will incur. That's just life. There are highs and lows in life and financially. And when the lows come, you are better off having a couple thousand dollars in savings and not having a video game system and a big TV and tons of games that you spent $50 and $75 a piece on, right? Because what are you going to do? How many people have ever gone and sold stuff because a crisis came, right? What do? You go down to the video game place that buys your video games and gives you 30 cents for a game you spent $75 for, okay? So it gets a little quiet. I must be like stepping on toes. There might be some gamers in here going, "Hey, man, screw you." But when a crisis comes, the cash is going to help you a lot more than that video game system that you couldn't afford. All right? And so, listen, it's important to live simply. right? So when you have, or how about this? If you end up with a complex problem to solve, maybe a relationship problem, would you rather have a clear and focused mind or a mind that's distracted or upset because of the stuff you saw on Facebook today? Okay? So there are different ways to accumulate and clutter. Sometimes we accumulate and clutter useless information, and it just clutters our thoughts, and it clutters, you know, our ability to work and to focus and to solve complex problems. Because complex problems aren't solved with shallow thinking. Oh, here's a meme that solves it all. Turn haters into motivators. Well, my life has changed forever, right? So it's important that we give ourselves a little mental margin and not always be indulging in useless information, okay? When you have the opportunity to bless somebody else, to be a blessing to others, would you rather have some time margin, right, so that you can make a difference in somebody else's life, or would you rather be too busy to stop and show God's love to someone? So we have time complexity by overcommitments, okay? There's something that we have to tell one of our children on a regular basis. No. We don't have time for that right now. We don't have time to add this to the schedule and add that and add that and add that and chew away all of our time margin, and then we're just tired all the time, right? And so when you have the opportunity to bless others, you want to have some time. If the devil is in the details, isn't it just better to have fewer details, right? If the devil's in the details, isn't it just better just to have more simplicity, fewer details? Complexity from too much accumulation and hurry and useless information causes anxiety. But simplicity brings joy. Have you guys, you know the feeling that you have like the day after your garage sale and your house feels bigger and you feel lighter because you don't have all that stuff just weighing you down? And so simplicity. I think every man, I don't know about women, but I think every man has fantasies sometimes about just living out of a backpack. Just whatever I can fit in that backpack. I walk wherever I go. I just do, you just light, just nothing. Anybody, any other men ever have that fantasy? Just like, yeah. Oh, all the time. I read a book not too long ago, and it said every man's hidden dream is to be able to just go off the grid and just live super simply, whatever you got in a backpack, and just, you know, walk the earth like Kane from Kung Fu, you know? I got an amen. Yeah, so, I mean, just to live simply because it feels so light. You feel so good. Simplicity brings joy. And getting to a place of simplicity, it takes intention. And it takes work. But Jesus gives great advice in Matthew 6. So, simplicity, the next thing is simplicity comes when we realize that the important things in life aren't things you can buy on Amazon. Mm-hmm. Who said that? I will find you out. Yes. Simplicity, the important things in life aren't things that you can buy on Amazon. Jesus said, isn't life more than food and clothing? Right? Jesus said that all the stuff, accumulating stuff, it dominates the thoughts of unbelievers. It dominates the thoughts of unbelievers. That's what they're always thinking about. And it's funny because I coach a guy who works at a factory, and his constant complaint is that the guys at the factory, all they talk about is getting that boat, buying that car, taking that trip. Like that literally just dominates their conversation, that their vision for their life is, you know, they have visions and dreams to accumulate nicer stuff. Rather than having visions and dreams for a life that impacts the kingdom, for a life that's full of meaning and intention. And so accumulating stuff dominates the thoughts of unbelievers. And as Christians, a consumer mentality really should be beneath us, right? If we're followers of Christ, who says that to seek first the kingdom of God, and if we're followers of Jesus, then that sort of consumeristic reaching, grabbing, accumulating more, you know, it really should be beneath us, because our intention, our desire, our priority is the kingdom of God. Not that it's wrong to have stuff. Not that it's wrong. But sometimes it's so easy for stuff to take the place in our hearts that belongs to Jesus. And so that's what we're talking about. You know, it's like, hey, I really like the new whatever, iPhone, sweet pair of shoes. I like those things, but it's the kingdom of God that really gets me excited. It's the kingdom of God that just really, you know, have you ever had a conversation with somebody and you're trying to go like deeper? You talk about the kingdom. You're talking about, you know, how God can use us. You know, you're talking about the deeper things and they're just sort of like shrugging their shoulders. And then you're like, hey, did you see the last Avengers movie? And they perk up. Right? And then their energy level goes up. And then you talk about, you know, our values and what are the values of Jesus that we should carry with us as believers? And they're going, I don't know, you know, and they kind of mumble. And then you're like, hey, man, did you check out the new iPhone? And they perk up, and all of a sudden their energy level rises, and they're all excited. And I just think that it's so easy, again, to let stuff take the place in our heart that belongs to Jesus, that we should try to align our passions so that what gets Jesus excited should get you and me excited, okay? And so it's like, hey, you know, rather than using this money to buy this, maybe I'll use this money to go with Lori to Haiti. I mean, she had a nightmare of a trip last time. Why would that not want you to go to Haiti, right? Why would you not want to get stuck in the middle of a riot zone? So, you know, I have bought a lot of things in my lifetime. At 47, almost, I'll be 48 January 1st. I've bought a lot of stuff, you know. Not super expensive, you know, I'm not wealthy. I've never owned a new car. But I've bought a lot of clothes and gadgets and doodads and whatever. Doodads and stuff. Whatnot and knickknacks and bric-a-brac. So I've bought a lot of stuff. But you know what? Not one of those things that I have ever bought has ever meant as much to me as the 3 months I spent in Ireland with my family planting a church. None of those things. And if you were to ask me, hey, Lee, if you could trade that experience for a new car, I would say no, right? You know, I've owned a lot of nice things, and not one thing has ever meant as much to me as planting this church. Not one thing has ever meant as much to me as experiences that I've had with my kids or with my wife. And so at the end of the day, the most valuable things in life can't be bought at Walmart, and they can't be bought on Amazon. Keep it simple. Accumulate meaningful experiences with people you love. You know, gosh, if we love people as much as we loved our stuff, we change the world. You know, we would completely change the world. Lastly, keeping the kingdom first keeps our priorities simple. Keeping the kingdom first in our life keeps our priorities simple. When God's kingdom is at the center of our life, we can make the decisions about how we spend our time and our money based on whether or not those things bring us closer to God's purposes or further away. I mean, if we asked ourselves that question, will this purchase, every time we spent any money at all, every time we were like, oh, we'll go to Starbucks, or, oh, you know, I'll buy that, or, oh, you know, I'll buy that. If we asked ourselves, will this bring me closer to God's purposes or further from God's purposes? Well, what a difference that would make. It would keep things so simple. And we wouldn't end up with a pile of junk that we just never use and wish we wouldn't have bought. And now we got to get rid of. And now we got to sell it at a rummage sale for a fraction of what we spent it on. Or, you know, we might actually have a little extra money. We won't have to panic when our car breaks down or our furnace needs to be replaced or, you know, whatever. And when God's kingdom is at the center of our lives, we can make decisions about how we spend time and money based on whether those things bring us closer or further from God's purposes. Will getting my child enrolled in another sports team bring our family closer to God in godly simplicity or further from it? Not that sports are bad. I'm not anti-sports. I'm just pro, let's make room for God in our lives and let's not get them involved in everything. One sport at a time, right? Just one thing at a time. That's good, right? You don't have to play five sports. Well, you know, would buying this doodad create, you know, future stress on my finances? That's an important question to ask. If I buy this now, is this going to cause future stress on my finances? Or would it be wiser just to practice a little simplicity now and then tuck away, just have a little savings, and then when once that savings grow, I'll buy it then, rather than pulling out the credit card and buying it now, right? And it's just simplicity. Does this move me towards complexity, or does this move me towards simplicity? That's just a great question to ask yourself when filling your plate with your time, when, buying things. Does this move me towards complexity or simplicity? And how about just, what does God want for me? What does God want for me? And that's a great question, because God wants us to walk in simplicity, to live meaningful lives, to live intentional lives, okay? And so what I want to do is I want to close today. We're going to do this fast. We're going to take about 4 minutes. We're going to break into groups of twos and threes. And just really quick, you're going to answer two questions. And they're on the back of your bulletin. If you didn't get a bulletin, that's okay. I'm going to give them to you. Or Vince can come bring you a bulletin. His knee is so much better, he could literally spring over rows of chairs now. So you're going to ask each other, and you're going to answer. So here's what we're going to do. Listen, I got super important instructions. Do not ask each other, how's it going? How was your week? Okay? We don't have time for that. Okay? And so that doesn't mean be rude to each other, but you don't have time for that. And so you're going to answer, you're going to take turns answering two questions. In what area of my life do I drift towards complexity most? Maybe that's time complexity. Maybe that's possession complexity. Maybe that's just distractions. You know, you're involved with all these other distractions. You know, too much Facebook, too much Instagram, too much blah, 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 blah. And distractions. The second question is, what's one action I can take today to move towards simplicity? Okay? So that could be, well, I'm gonna cancel my monthly, you know, name it, Netflix, Hulu, gamers, blah, 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 okay? I'm going to cancel, or I'm going to start giving more. Nothing will help you simplify your finances more than being an intentional giver, because it makes you think about those things. It puts the kingdom first. And so you're going to ask each other those two questions. So super quick, break into twos and threes. Hopefully mostly twos. That's okay. Come on, break into twos and threes. Ask each other those questions. And then we'll come back and we'll worship, okay?